fighting for America.
Yeah, a cop just got shot.
I saw him. He got shot in the face.
Yeah, he got shot. I saw that. Laid on the ground. I didn't get him, but I saw him. They taking cover. It was none of the protesters. It was at least 500 feet up tipping. We didn't see it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Seriousness, the violence that took place, it's really sad and really shocking, and we hope to never hear of something like this again. You know, I mean, this is really just terrible, terrible.
Fighting for you.
How much traffic control does the city of Eagle need, for crying out loud? Everybody understands green light, red light.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
He's a five-year-old.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you here. Thank you for starting your day with us. Phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. You know, where do we really begin? We have a couple local stories that we were talking about. How to pay for teachers. What teachers should make here in the state of Idaho. We also have a story concerning the gas tax. But, you know, as often when we talk to some of the newsmakers that we have on here, we always ask them, what do they think is the state of America? And that's one thing that I would like to ask you. Now, we're spoiled in Idaho. We are extremely spoiled, and I'll tell you why in a minute. I've been doing this. I've been blessed to, as my mom says, live my dream for over 20 years. And when I started in talk radio, as you heard from Steve Forbes last week and others, you know, I was a baby host. You interview the newsmakers and you talk about local issues and national issues and everything else. And as I was yapping about this, I thought to myself, you know, we can make a difference. And when we're talking about making a difference, how do you think we can make a difference? And what is the state of America today? That's what I'd like to know from you. What is the state of America today? You heard what happened in Ferguson. Right now, there is a news conference going on. Has our government made that situation better? Now, we talk about the 50th anniversary of the Selma March, and having worked predominantly in the South, it's an issue. Perhaps not a big issue as the national folks like to make, but when they start talking about from Selma to Ferguson, what have we learned? They devalue what happened in Selma, what happened with Dr. King, what happened. And so I wonder, here in Idaho, where we have such a great way of life, what do you think? What is the state of America today?
In a very eerily quiet situation. Here I'm at the Ferguson Police Department. I am right next also to what happens to be the crime scene. The officers were shot as you stood. This whole area, which is an extended area, is covered basically by police tape. Police are not letting anyone into this area. There are police cars basically blocking both ends of South Florissant Road. No one is able to come here.
There you have it. Now, remember, Eric Holder tried his hardest, the president tried his hardest, to find something wrong, some civil rights violations. That didn't happen. And now we have two officers shot, two officers executed in New York. Do you believe there's a war on the police? Well, we'll talk about that more in a minute. Joining us now is the author, the best-selling author of a few books, David Bigo, with us. David, good to have you with us.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be on again.
Let's talk a little bit about the president. And, you're the author of The Devil at Our Doorstep. You're the president and CEO of Executive Management Services, employee advocate against the SEIU. Where do you think the state of the country is? And then we'll start talking about labor and the president and everything. Where are we culturally?
Well, I think we're in trouble, Kevin, and I kind of alluded to that in my blog. I think that this administration, this president is trying to undermine our society, our republic, our free market system, and destroy it. And, he's doing it by with old union tactics like the SEIU, because they're the same type of tactics that they use. I see it because I've been through it, and it just, to me, it pops up like a big sign. And it's really scary when I see him doing these things, and, you know, racial division and, you know, amnesty and the things going on with ISIS and, you know, net neutrality, all these things combined, and, you know, a high budget, another budget that's going to increase our deficit. It's all designed to bring down America.
Well, and you write about this, devil at our doorstep, on your blogs here, that the president is basically transforming America. Are you worried about the lack of opportunities for these kids in college and these kids in high school and junior high? Because the jobs that we grew up with are disappearing.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when you become an entitlement society and the government is controlling everything, you know, businesses, and with all the controls on businesses and being attacked, not just by our government, but by the unions and other people, you know, businesses are moving out of the country and things are drying up. And to me, it's a real concern. We got to get back to what made us great, and that's a free, open, free market, and people have to make it on their own, and self-preservation and perseverance and hard work and all that kind of stuff. And what they want to do, Kevin, and again, I see it because it's what the union bosses do. You know, when they unionize somebody and negotiate contracts, they want people to be all at the same wages, all at the same productivity level and that. And that's because people are easy to control when you have them doing the same thing and getting the same pay. And that's basically what they're doing with these entitlement programs and that. And it's destroying our workforce. And on top of that, you have the borders open, so you have people continue to pour across the border who are taking American jobs and lowering wages across America.
David, let's take a look at your story. Do you believe, and for people that forgot when you were on here, how you started small, have gotten big, have wanted to take care of your employees, could you do that same magic today with the new regulations from this administration?
It would be tough, and you know, that's the scary part about it. And I think that's why you don't see as many entrepreneurs anymore. And, I mean, you know, I'm a fighter, and I persevere a lot. So, you know, in my mind, I think I could make it, but it would be a tough road to hoe.
Right, because of just all these new regulations that are coming on over and over. And then you have the states mimicking the feds.
Yeah, and you know, some states are doing better than others. You know, like here in Indiana, we have a good governor and group, and, you know, like Scott Walker and Wisconsin, they're trying to do the right things. The problem is we don't have enough of those type people in politics anymore. Politics, unfortunately, are more long-term jobs for people instead of being short-term jobs to go in and do what's right for America.
Well, let's continue on at 580KIDO. What would be the right move for America when we're talking about creating more jobs, creating more opportunities for people like you to make jobs for people?
Well, I believe that it's pretty simple, really. There's several things, but number one, the government's got to back out of it. And, you know, we got to redesign our tax system so that it's more friendly to everybody. You know, we have a flat rate system. We close the borders and so that we don't have people coming across that are taking jobs. And we've seen it in our industry and others where we have businesses that are hiring illegals and paying them under the table as independent contractors. So they're paying them, they're making in many places less than minimum wage, and they're not getting benefits. And the government's not getting payroll taxes on that because they're not paying them as employees. So, you know, there's a lot of things like that. Reduce government regulations, and you know, reduce the size of government. And I think we need to go to term limits. If we start doing a lot of those things, we could turn America around.
Well, David, anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, yeah, I want people to wake up and understand that I think we're at a crossroads in this country, and I'm concerned about the future of it for all Americans and for my family and kids and that, and that's why I do this. And I hope they will take it to heart that we need to turn things around.
Well, if people want to read your work and get the information, what can they do, sir?
They go to my blog, thedevilatourdoorstep.com, and read my blogs and they can buy my book there and that, because again, I've seen this behind the scenes. I've seen the connections with the unions and the politicians and the government, this president, and with other people, and I see what they're trying to do to America, it's very evident. People need to wake up.
Well, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. That's David Bego with us here. 8:15, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go back to this issue involving your thoughts on the state of America. We've got two Ferguson police officers. The press conference, by the way, still going on. Have been transported to an area hospital after sustaining gunshot wounds, one to the face and the other to the shoulder. Big protest last night in the wake of last week's Justice Department report charging racial bias in the Ferguson Police Department. Now, remember Eric Holder was going to go down there, and Eric Holder, our crime-fighting attorney general that wants to take your guns. Those aren't my words. Those are his words. Do we have that? Yes, we do.
We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Yeah, brainwash people. That seems to be happening in Idaho. Let's continue. Eric Holder goes down there as they're burning and looting in Ferguson, Missouri. He's making allegations against the police officer who protected himself. By the way, no charges. He's making allegations against the police department themselves. By the way, they were cleared in any wrongdoing. And really, what's the sum of all this? You have people that are all fired up, all about hating America, racial division and everything else. And what happens? You have people that are there to protect us. They become the targets.
In a very eerily quiet situation here, I'm at the Ferguson Police Department. I'm right next also to what happens to be the crime scene. The officers were shot. As you stood, this whole area, which is an extended area, is covered basically by police tape. Police are not letting anyone into this area. There are police cars basically blocking both ends of South Florissant Road. No one is able to come here.
Well, no one should. Now, have we looked at the racial identity of the police officers? Do we know the racial identity of the said assailants, the suspects? I mean, because it was so important to Eric Holder before, when he calls us cowards about race, when he wants to brainwash us to take our guns. Where is the crime fighter now? Where is his successor? So at 580-5436, your state of America, how do you believe we're doing culturally, racially, economically? It's very easy to get depressed with all this bad news, and we haven't even touched Clinton's emails today. But as a parent, as a guardian, as an adult, a grandparent, where are we in your years of living on this earth, your years of paying taxes, your years of going to church? Where are we? So many times we ask the experts, but I thought there's no more important expert than you. Where do you see us? I see us on the precipice. We can believe the bad news, or we can look at the good things. I mean, clearly, the number one enemy is the media. They're the ones that empower the president. We go to Eric with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. So, what I wanted to tell you is that, you know, my sister's a teacher, and my father, who's interested in all these issues, he recently retired, and he wanted to become county treasurer in St. Anthony so that he could actually look at, you know, report to the public where their money was going. And he found out that if he was county treasurer, he could not know where the money was going in the schools. That was actually blocked from him, which is unconstitutional. But he was very shocked that, yeah, you're county treasurer, but you don't get to know what the schools are doing with the money.
Okay, what does that have to do with the state of America?
You brought up teachers not that, you know, about how much teachers are making.
Okay. Then what do you think that, what you think we should pay them more or not?
I think we should pay them more, and I think we have the money in the budget. We just don't know where the money's going.
Hmm. What was the reason given why your father wouldn't be able allowed to look at the budget?
That was the point. He didn't know either.
Hmm.
He kind of went, wait a minute, is this an oligarchy here? That the money gets to get spent anywhere, but the public doesn't get to know?
Imagine that. Imagine that. Eric, thank you for the call and your insight. 580-5436. We are talking two issues, the state of America, and is it time to pay teachers more? And what about textbooks? A lot going on here this morning, 820. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
The immigration problem is not going to be solved until we get rid of the rhinos in Washington and get some politically incorrect conservatives to replace them.
Just wanted to say I appreciate Rachel's comment about the cockroach part, that probably they're mostly cockroach.
We've got to get together as a country.
I want to know what you're thinking.
Kevin Miller is talking to you on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is the phone number to get on the air. So we've got the teacher pay raise shot down. It's kind of odd, though. You think of education and where we're all going here. I mean, are you satisfied that you have people that aren't certified teaching your kids? Many people say, well, yeah, homeschool, no big deal. They do it all the time. Who needs certification in education? It's real easy. My kids listen to me all the time. Sure. You have people saying that this isn't a crisis. Personally, I think that it is. When you have people leaving the state in droves, now, will money solve the problem? And how do you do that? Well, you know, it's like what we say here, you know, one hand washes the other. I think if the union comes back a little on their tiered tenure proposal, they accept that, then the House and the Senate and the governor will say, well, you get more money. The problem is, how do you protect the classroom, the teacher, and everything else? Is it really ever going to be solved? Sometimes I guess you kind of have to look at it. Why do we live in enclaves? Why do we have private school, homeschool? Why do people opt out? Because they don't get the solutions that they pay their taxes for. I mean, let's face it. They don't, right? There is no solution. Everybody's upset and angry. It's almost like the Hundred Years' War when it comes to education in the state of Idaho. Also, when we're thinking of the legislature and how it impacts you, we've got this bill moving along, and it seems like the folks in Boise that have come from all over the state cannot get it off their minds that they're going to stick it to us when it comes to boosting the gas tax. Now, what has gas gone up 50 cents in the last 3 weeks? So much for the boondoggle of, hey, let's have a summer of, you know, 1970-ish gas prices. Well, not 70-ish, but maybe 1990-ish gas prices. And fresh off that, we have folks in the Idaho legislature wanting to pass a gas tax this time around. 5-cent increase in gas and diesel taxes, bringing the price per gallon to 30 cents. It's a 20% hike. A 2-cent transfer tax. We could go over this again and again, and we can get a gas tax bill through, but we can't get a gun bill through, right? Shows you the priorities. But at 580-5436, do you want to pay more for gas? I don't. I don't buy the roads argument. You know, you want to get a gas tax through, have an audit of the transportation department and put it online. And I do remember, what was it, many years ago, it was in 09, where Governor Otter actually put the state gas tax, or not, the state budget online, and only 90 people looked at it, because they took a look at it. So we're supposed to believe that we're $262 million of a shortfall. That's a maintenance gap. So that didn't happen in a year. Why wasn't it addressed last year? Oh, it was an election year. Our old friend Craig with us at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
living the dream.
Well, yeah, it sounds like we're close to the nightmare at this point. Well, considering that they don't listen to us, and I've called my state senator and my state representative and said, no tax increases until you get a third-party independent auditing firm to go in and look at the budget, find out where the shortfalls are, find out where they are misusing, not in a negative way necessarily, where funds could be redirected in their budget, so where their needs are getting met, where they have an overage in a certain area, and redirect that money either in the general budget or within the Idaho Transportation Department to go ahead and to meet the needs that need to be met, not just staff it all up and say, well, this department's got $10 and we need that $10. Really? Do you need the $10? Let's find out. Let's check it out. Where's your budget? What's it doing? How's it doing it? And I get lots of good, like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And I never see any type of program like that implemented. So we truly have an understanding of what the needs assessment is and how it can be applied.
It's a very good point. I mean, only government is going to say, well, you know, we have this figure, we have no facts, but trust us, we've ignored the roads forever.
Yeah, trust us. You know, we've been going on, and, you know, I'm tired of the fashion of politics. It seems like a news cycle. Everybody keeps going, oh, yeah, oh, crisis, we got to do this now. Woo, it gets everybody all wired up, and then after a while, it goes away. And then X many years later, the same cycle comes around, or they go, oh, we got to fix roads and bridges. Well, when did roads and bridges become a fashionable thing? When Obama started talking about roads and bridges. So it seems like even if though we have quite a zoo of rhinos, they seem to be going along with the idea that never let a good crisis go to waste, which is Alinskyism.
I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
And I know better than you. Because you're just you.
And there are employees.
Right, exactly. So get back to work, make your tax dollars, and we'll take care of you, as Tom said.
Keep working, brother. We need
we
need your tax revenue.
Oh, actually, I'm about ready to stop working. Actually, I was stopping working in December, but they asked me to stay on for several more months. So.
Well, the politicians appreciate that. Thank you, Craig.
I'm sure they do.
See ya.
Take care, Kevin.
All right, our great friend Craig in Boise. Always wonderful to hear from him. Coming up next, you know, we talk about schools. We talk about the feds. Apparently, we're going to learn exclusively here that the Gem State is not maximizing its opportunities to get money from the feds for schools. Maybe that could help pay for teachers. Find out next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. More of your calls coming up. Pro-life, hang on the line. Joining us now is John Hill, Executive Director from the National Alliance for Medicaid in Education. He's in town this week. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Kevin?
Living the dream. So apparently we're not getting all our money from the feds?
That's basically pretty much where it lies. Representative Tom Bailey asked me to come in to meet with a number of the state legislative committees this week, as well as a number of the state agency heads and some other state representatives to talk about the potential of being able to probably pull down an additional $30, $40 million that the state of Idaho is leaving on the federal side of money, which unfortunately means if you're not using your federal money to pay for it, your state taxpayers are having to pay for it.
Boy, and just like a lot of places, we're taking a beating when it comes to the budget. So what can we do to get this money back?
Well, there are some things that would be best that would happen. We've been talking with some of the state agencies and, again the legislature folks about different ways that that we were able to pull down additional money. And we're talking about services that are provided to students in special education. So we're talking about nursing services that schools have to provide, behavioral services that they have to provide, some of the therapy services that they have to provide, just making it easier and more transparent for schools to access those state Medicaid dollars and which will pull down a 70% match from the federal government.
Hmm. Well, that would go a long way. Why do the feds attach the money for just special ed?
Because first of all, you have to be a student with disabilities in order to be eligible for the Medicaid program, and that the feds allow the money to be reimbursed if those services have been specified in the student's education plan, and basically they utilize that as a certification for need of the service.
I see. So, what do you hope to accomplish today?
Just a better understanding here that of what's available through the program. The main vested interest that our organization has is that the other 50 states or the other 49 states in this country rely on this program, and we think that it's very important that when a state operates the program that they do so with integrity and that they're following the rules, because we don't want there to be major issues going on in any particular place that would cause the feds to question why they're funding such a program, because, again, it would impact everybody else in the country as well.
Right, and like you said, most states do maximize their reimbursements. Do you think it's ignorance or what, the reason why we're letting this money fall through? We're doing the work. We're not getting paid for it.
That's right, and you're providing the services already that the state of Idaho is paying for. It's just they're not recouping all the federal money you could recoup to help cover the service. And I think it's just some lack of understanding at various levels of the appropriate ways to go about to gain the access to the money and some changes that need to be made. It's not that Idaho hasn't made some major steps in doing so. They are working more closely with the schools. They are providing additional training to the schools. That probably does need to be stepped up, and then there probably needs to be some evaluation on the effectiveness of the training to providing the schools to make sure that they are maximizing the dollars they can pull down. And we also want to make sure that they're not pulling down money they should not be pulling down. So you kind of have to weigh out the two options here.
Well, that happened to one school district. They spent more money than they had, and layoffs happened. We don't want that to happen.
Absolutely. And we also don't want schools pulling down money that they're not entitled to. However, it's very evident that we're not pulling down the money that they are entitled to.
So as we move on here at 580KIDO, John Hill with us, Executive Director of National Alliance for Medicaid in Education, you're going to be speaking to a lot of folks today. Are they going to have a bill, or what are they going to do to – I mean, you're raising awareness. What will the legislature do if they listen to what you're saying?
At this point in time, that the best thing that could happen is we just raise awareness enough that the legislator folks and the state agencies can come up with a plan to address the issues without having to do legislation. That would be preferable and very possible, but people need to have a better understanding of what exactly it is that needs to be happening, what's happening now, what needs to happen, and what goal they want to shoot for.
It's interesting, the name of your group, Medicaid and Education. I don't know if a lot of folks would ever correlate the two.
Right. And the one thing that's happened over the number of years, because of the disabilities, the American Disabilities and Education Act, the schools are providing more and more services to medically fragile kids and kids with very significant medical issues. And that because of that, schools have had to go out and find additional funding to be able to pay for those services, and Medicaid is a prime source for funding for many of those services because they are medical services.
Right.
So, and that helps reduces the tax burden on the local communities.
Well, John, if people want more information, what can they do?
They can look us up on our website under the National Association of Medicaid and Education to find out more information about our organization. And they can also talk to their representatives to see if they believe that they actually are doing everything that needs to be done in order to access this federal money. Of course, again, there's people that are concerned about the responsibilities to go along with that, but the additional funding is critical for the state to be accessing those dollars.
Mr. Hill, enjoy Idaho.
Thank you very much. It's a beautiful state, and I look forward to coming back sometime.
As you told Ray Amaya, one of the few state houses without metal detectors.
Actually, I mentioned that yesterday when I walked in. I was surprised that they weren't there, so it's a very, very comfortable place to be.
Because they all pack.
Yes, I heard that. I heard that as one of the reasons.
Take care, sir.
You too. Thank you for your time.
All right. There you have it. More money for the state. See, we're solving problems. Let's go to Rupert and Jamie with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment on your about auditing. They do that national level. They audit every year. They have a senator that goes out and he tells you where all the wasteful spending is, and then they do absolutely nothing about it. They tell you, and then it's dropped. It's like, well, now you know. Well, why isn't there a change? Why aren't they making the change? Same thing would happen in Idaho. You go and audit it, tell you where the money is, then what? Nothing. Nothing will happen.
It's like that salesperson that gives you the bait and switch, you know?
Yeah, they're not going to change anything just because you're going to. It's another, okay, let's just kind of fog this over. Let's tell them where it's at, and then they'll forget about it.
Right. They'll go back to their video games and their ATVs.
Yeah, and nothing will change, and there you are. It's still there. You still have the problem.
And
they'll never change it.
Well, except when there's a crisis, Jamie, and then all of a sudden, well, we've got to raise your taxes.
Well, yeah, let's tell them about it, and then they'll tell them what we're going to do about it, and then they just continue spending wastefully.
Yeah.
You can't do that at your home. You can't do that in your budget. You can't do that at anywhere.
Can't do it at the broadcast center.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Exactly. So I don't know what good an audit's going to do other than you're going to get a committee and you're going to spend more money paying those people to give you the audit. I mean, it's just a vicious circle.
Well, thankfully you have us.
Well, hopefully the younger generation's paying attention and wake up and don't vote for a political party. Vote for the person and what they really, really, really are.
Now, wait a minute. These are the same people that voted for Obama.
They voted because he's black. They voted because he was Democrat. I even have relatives that told me that.
Well, you heard it here first. What's going on in Rupert? Anything good?
No, well, we're just in those little quiet communities. There's not a whole lot of stuff going on. We just kind of like live in our little quiet world.
No troublemakers.
No troublemakers, for sure.
Well, you have a blessed day, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. I think she's a new addition to the Miller Militia. Pro-Life, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO. Good morning, Pro-Life.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think our signal went over there to Rupert. But anyway, maybe she listens online.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, well, hey, a lot of people tell me they hear me on the radio. So, and I say, well, call into Kevin. He'll be nice to you. And they say, well, I can't do that. I'm just too afraid. But you have a lot of listeners. I can verify that.
Oh, bless your heart. See, for all those people that are potential advertisers, if you're looking to support the Kevin Miller Show lifestyle and its extravagance and you want to return on your investment, there's proof right there that we have many listeners from our friend Pro-Life, a distinguished politician and public servant that is, you run for governor, you run for Senate. Have you run for president?
No, I don't know.
Maybe,
who knows? But anyway, the last guy you just had on there from Medicaid and education.
Yes.
I'm totally opposed to what he's trying to do. Now, I know it brings money to Idaho and helps us increase our services and all that kind of stuff, but it makes us more dependent on the federal government. And pretty soon we'll have nothing but federal funds. Everything will be federalized, and we will have no more freedom. We're getting close to that now. It's all backed up by a phony monetary system.
You know, I think you're just bitter that you didn't beat Governor Otter. And let's just have a little fun this morning, can we?
All right. Go ahead.
What if you were Governor Pro-Life? What would you have done if you were elected?
Well, the first thing I would have done is...
There's a light that shines within our path.
I would have said that when sperm meets egg, there's no more... I mean, there's a new person on Earth. I'm going to stop all of the abortions, all of the murders of the babies, take all the abortive patients out of the state.
Hence,
I would have done that.
Hence the name Pro-Life.
Exactly.
Yes.
And...
What about the feds? I mean, we're kind of like, you know, addicted to the money, like the drug folks are addicted to the drug dealers.
Right. And then another thing I would have done as the governor, I would have said if you can't find it in the federal constitution, Article 1, Section 8, the defined powers, then we're as a state, we are not going to go along with the federal government in any of that. And so, like on the marriage thing, I would have said we're not going to go to federal court, we're not going to spend any of our attorneys, we're not going to show up, we're just going to enforce our one man, one woman marriage.
Kind of like what they're doing in Alabama right now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm glad we found out. I would urge you to build a big fence around the state personally.
Right. Yeah, I think it would be good.
Yeah, I agree.
And we could keep the socialist, fascist, mixed up kind of people out.
And the illegals. I've got to run, but thank you.
All right.
Our friend pro-life, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Well, it's time for traffic again, right? Why don't we do that? Time for traffic. We appreciate you. You know, a lot of times on this program, we talk about problems and issues and everything else, but we always do our best to differentiate ourselves from the ever-competitive media world that we live in by talking solutions. And if humble K. Millie doesn't have the solutions, we seek guidance from you. You know, you are our community. So no matter if you've started the day as I did with like 4 bonks to the head, personally and professionally, know that you are not alone. Know that you are loved. Know that we are with you and appreciate you each and every day. And you have a great one. May God bless you and your family, and keep the faith.